Section 1. A Romulan Tale. In Plutarch's biography of Romulus, the founder of Rome, we are told he was the son of God, born of a virgin. An attempt is made to kill him as a baby, and he is saved and raised by a poor family, becoming a lowly shepherd. Then, as a man, he becomes beloved by the people, hailed as king, and killed by the conniving elite. Then he rises from the dead, appears to a friend to tell the good news to his people, and ascends to heaven to rule from on high, just like Jesus. Plutarch also tells us about annual public ceremonies that were still being performed, which celebrated the day Romulus ascended to heaven. The sacred story told at this event went basically as follows. At the end of his life, amid rumors he was murdered by a conspiracy of the Senate, just as Jesus was murdered by a conspiracy of the Jews, in fact, by the Sanhedrin, the Jewish equivalent of the Senate, the sun went dark, just as it did when Jesus died, and Romulus's body vanished, just as Jesus's did. The people wanted to search for him, but the Senate told them not to, for he had risen to join the gods, much as a mysterious young man tells the women in Mark's gospel. Most went away happy, hoping for good things from their new God, but, quote-unquote, some doubted, just as all later Gospels say of Jesus. Just look at Matthew 28, verse 17, Luke 24, verse 11, John 20, verses 24 to 25. Even Mark 16, verse 8 implies this. Soon after, Proculus, a close friend of Romulus, reported that he met Romulus on the road between Rome and a nearby town and asked him, "Why have you abandoned us?" To which Romulus replied that he had been a god all along, but had come down to earth and become incarnate to establish a great kingdom, and now had to return to his home in heaven, pretty much as happens to Cleopas in Luke 24, verses 13 to 32. We'll see more about that in chapter 10. Then Romulus told his friend to tell the Romans that if they are virtuous, they will have all worldly power. Luke converts this glorious appearance tale into a hidden god narrative, a reversal that befits how Christianity was also inverting the message of Romulus, promising, at least in the meantime, a hidden spiritual kingdom rather than a visible earthly one. But otherwise, the details are essentially the same. In fact, the similarities are even more numerous than I've proposed here, as I'll show in chapter 10 and earlier in chapter 5. Plutarch tells us that the annual Roman ceremony of the Romulan ascent involved a recitation of the names of those who fled his vanishing in fear, and the acting out of their fear and flight in public, a scene suspiciously paralleling the pre-redacted ending of Mark's Gospel at 16 verse 8, which would make sense of his otherwise bizarre ending. We are then to assume what followed his story is just what followed the story he is emulating, an appearance of the Lord delivering the gospel, which is then proclaimed to the people. The very thing Mark tells us to anticipate in chapter 14, verse 28, and chapter 16, verse 7. In fact, Livy's account, just like Mark's, emphasizes that fear and bereavement kept the people silent for a long time, and only later did they proclaim Romulus God, Son of God, King, and Father, thus matching Mark's "they said nothing to anyone," yet obviously assuming that somehow word got out. It certainly seems as if Mark is fashioning Jesus into the new Romulus, with a new superior message, establishing a new superior kingdom. This Romulan tale looks a lot like a skeletal model for the Passion narrative. A great man, founder of a great kingdom, despite coming from lowly origins and of suspect parentage, is actually an incarnated son of God, but dies as a result of a conspiracy of the ruling council, then a darkness covers the land at his death and his body vanishes, at which those who followed him flee in fear, just like the gospel women in Mark 16:8, and the gospel men in Mark 14, verses 50 to 52. And like them, too, we look for his body, but are told he is not here, he has risen. And some doubt, but then the risen God appears to select followers to deliver his gospel. There are many differences in the two stories, surely, but the similarities are too numerous to be a coincidence, and the differences are likely deliberate. For instance, Romulus's material kingdom, favoring the mighty, is transformed into a spiritual one favoring the humble. It certainly looks like the Christian Passion narrative is an intentional transvaluation of the Roman Empire's ceremony of their own founding savior's incarnation, death, and resurrection. Other elements have been added to the Gospels, the story heavily Judaized, and many other symbols and motifs pulled in to transform it. And the narrative has been modified in structure and content to suit the Christian's own moral and spiritual agenda. But the basic structure is not original. There were, in fact, numerous pre-Christian savior gods who became incarnate and underwent sufferings or trials, even deaths and resurrections. None of them actually existed. Neither did Romulus. Yet all were placed in history and often given detailed biographies, just like Plutarch's.